Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom Temin. When the legislative branch is investigating an agency within the executive branch, leaders of said agency may not be too pleased. They may attempt to stymie the investigation, even if that means bringing criminal charges against congressional investigative staff for finding something they shouldn't have. That's what happened to Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse's staff, according to him. The two-term Democrat spoke with Federal News Radio's Eric White to tell the story of what happened and why he thinks there needs to be a law protecting congressional staff members who are conducting an investigation, not executive agencies.
This issue came about because I was on the Senate Intelligence Committee when the so-called torture report was being prepared. And there was an inspector general investigation of the CIA's conduct in responding to the Senate investigation, which caused the Inspector General to make a referral to the Department of Justice of potential CIA criminal misconduct. And in what looked a little bit like tit for tat, the Acting General Counsel of the CIA then filed a criminal referral with the Department of Justice against Senate Intelligence Committee staff. And it was at that point that we began to see things go haywire, and the potential for the executive branch to abuse this authority deliberately suddenly became very apparent.
So the oversight staff found the Panetta review in the CIA's own network search engine that they provided. Would the oversight staff had found that if the CIA had remembered not to put that in there, or would they have been able to go another route and would have found it anyway, even if it wasn't available?
I don't know that there would have been another way into it. What we do know is that there was an oversight by the CIA where they inadvertently put the Panetta review materials into the searchable database, even though they had not intended to, and I think they were not even aware of it, which caused them to think that somehow we had hacked their system, when in fact all they'd done was leave these documents more or less in plain view, but they hadn't known it.
And how did the criminal referral affect the staff in the midst of their investigation?
Well, that's where it got really interesting, because first, the staff were very disabled in their ability to respond to even like basic questions from members. Anybody who has a criminal investigation pending or a criminal charge lodged against them is told by their lawyers that you shouldn't be talking about this. Let me do the talking for you. It's kind of criminal defense 101. And so it puts the staff in the terrible position of either not doing their job as committee staff or violating the standard advice that lawyers give people in these situations.
So the referral, it's safe to say, delayed the findings of the investigation being brought to the public light?
Yes, the referral inhibited the staff of the Intelligence Committee in the performance of their duties.
And what kind of charges or potential repercussions was the Senate staff looking at if DOJ had gone ahead and pursued with criminal charges?
Well, they never did, and there didn't appear to be a basis for it, in fact, but presumably would have been something having to do with unauthorized access of a record, or in order to protect the records, they were moved to the secure, classified confines of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And arguably, you could say that they were not authorized to do that, I suppose. But the gap between the filing of the referral and what actually happened was broad enough that it caused me to think, you know, there are a lot of circumstances, and a great amount of government material is classified, and there are all sorts of ways in which you could conceivably find a way to make a referral. And then, not only does the committee staff get disabled in the way that I describe, but individually they're also hurt, because the first thing you have to do is pay for lawyers. And Washington lawyers are not cheap. And because of the Gifts Act, Senate staff aren't allowed to have anybody help them with their legal bills. There's no charitable organization that one can go to for voluntary counsel or pro bono work. So it can be financially devastating to be forced to go through this, as well as all the usual worries about, is there something here I don't see? So the price that was paid by these very hardworking, very talented, very honorable staffers was really apparent.
We're speaking with Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. He's the Democratic senator from Rhode Island. What kind of reforms do you think that should be considered? Could it be that you allow maybe congressional staff to have pro bono attorneys, since that seems to be a big advantage if you're under investigation?
That would be, I think, a very logical reform. Another would be to put some kind of restraints on the initial criminal referral in the first place. The fact that this was done in apparent retaliation for what the Inspector General had done to the CIA made it look like there was an ulterior motive. And the fact that the individual who actually sent the criminal referral was a very significant subject of the torture report, with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mentions of him in the report, creates a clear conflict of interest in terms of a referral that is then going to disable the investigation of which you are a subject. So trying to figure out what kind of a check should be in place to prevent really fanciful charges from being brought in order to protect an administration from investigation, all you really need is a good relationship between the executive official and the attorney general, and allow the attorney general doesn't even have to act on the referral. Just sitting on it disables the performance of the duties of the congressional investigative staff, and one can sit on an investigation for quite a long time. So maybe even demanding that there be some time frame within which the attorney general personally has to make a decision, just to screen out that kind of a possibility when you have a congressional staff person who is acting in the charged conduct pursuant to the direction of Congress. I mean, it's one thing if they go out and hit somebody, or if they steal something, or if they're, involved in domestic violence. All those things are a whole different equation. This is allegedly misconduct arising right out of the performance of their duties, and very disabling to the investigative enterprise. It's not so much that I know what the CIA intended to do in all of this, but that this is a living example of how an administration that wished to cover up misdeeds could abuse the criminal referral process to inhibit an agency investigation, basically by taking its lead staff people off the field for an indefinite period of time, as long as the attorney general is willing to basically cool his heels and let the matter sit. So if you had the least bit of coordination between the subject of the investigation and the attorney general, you could really use this as a tool to stonewall congressional investigation. So I'm really focusing on its potential abuse in the future, rather than trying to draw conclusions about what motivated the CIA in this particular instance.
And so, speaking on that potential for abuse, are there any other situations that have arisen in the past that maybe you can think of where they have used the justice wing of the government to tamper an investigation?
Nothing comes to mind. My worry is that even if you inadvertently blunder into using a particular device, and then you see what that does to the investigation, and you see what that does to the committee staff, that can be a lesson learned by the executive branch that they then use deliberately in the future. And I'm trying to head that off, because the executive branch of government should not be able to bring false criminal charges against staff involved in congressional investigation of what they have done, and by doing so, hobble congressional oversight.
Can you speak a little bit on how big of an issue retaliatory actions by government officials is in the federal government? I mean, even recently we found out that the Inspector General for the NSA was found to have taken similar actions against a whistleblower. Is this going to be an issue that we're going to be conflicting with for the next few years, to try and have whistleblowers and or investigative staff be able to freely operate?
It's a whole different question when you're getting into potential whistleblowers who are in the executive branch, and there is a whole array of protections that they have And Chairman Grassley and others are very keen to make sure that those protections are honored and respected, because we appreciate the importance of protecting whistleblowers in the executive branch of government. But separate from that, we also have a congressional independent responsibility of oversight that is one of the most significant congressional responsibilities. And once there's a tool lying around for the executive branch to use to interfere with that congressional oversight, we want to make sure that we try to address that, because what happened here, whether it was intended to do that or not, creates an example and a lesson for future executive officials as to how to block and snarl up a congressional investigation and how to bring personal punishment against the individuals who are in good faith working that congressional investigation.
Ensuring proper government oversight has seemed to be a bipartisan issue over the last few years. Do you foresee any of that cooperation maybe mending now that your Republican colleagues are running the House, Senate, and the White House?
You know, there's always a bit of a tension between the legislators who belong to the president's party when it comes to the choice between acting as legislators and doing the oversight that is our job, and acting as members of the same party and trying to defend the administration from attack and investigation. And I don't think that tension is ever going to go away, but I do think that there is every likelihood of this being a target-rich environment in the years ahead for various investigations, and I do think that we are institutionally well-served by making sure that when there is a proper congressional investigation taking place, no matter of what party and no matter by what party, that the executive branch does not have tools to unilaterally impede that investigation simply by filing bogus criminal charges.
Sheldon Whitehouse is the junior senator from Rhode Island. He's speaking there with Federal News Radio's Eric White. We'll post this entire interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Still to come on Federal News Radio, the administration might be changing, but the march toward digital government will continue. Some predictions for 2017. That's next on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom.